The meeting will come to order. And the first, we don't have a quorum. So the first bill on the agenda is House File 2757. Representative Hilty? Is he in here? The chair will move House File 2757 for consideration for possible inclusion in a committee report. Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is an amendment, I believe, that Ms. Dalton has prepared to make some basically technical changes to the bill, just to fill in a date and the amount that would be applied to the projects described in the bill.
Representative Hilty, staff said that that's being copied right now. As soon as we get it, then we'll adopt that, if that's okay with you. And
that would be fine, Mr. Chair. That doesn't affect the essence of the bill in any way.
Oh, excellent.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House File 2757 is a bill that would provide for a local option sales tax for the city of Cloquet. Those of you who have served on the tax committee know that this is not the first time that this bill has been heard, although it's not exactly in the same form that it has been presented in the past. We've done some reshuffling of projects. And I have with me this morning Mr. Brian Fritzinger, who's the city administrator for the city of Cloquet, who will describe the projects anticipated. But, Mr. Chair, before I ask Mr. Fritzinger to do that, I would like to say that I think that there has been kind of a consistent misperception about the city of Cloquet. As we have presented this proposal in the past, I think people generally tend to assume that because of its proximity to Duluth, that Cloquet is not what the tax committee would like to regard as a regional center. And I would just like to emphasize that that is totally not the case. The projects that are included in this bill are ones that do absolutely have a regional nature, and I would just like to emphasize that the amenities that Cloquet provides are used by virtually all of Carleton County and a good portion of St. Louis County. There's a focus on Cloquet that the city has been very happy to host for a number of years. And what we're really asking for here is the ability to continue doing that and to make some of the improvements that are necessary. With that, Mr. Chair, I would like to ask Mr. Fritzinger to describe the project.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hilty. Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hilty, just to that point, what is the population of Cloquet?
Representative Hilty.
At the moment, Mr. Chair, Representative Simpson, it's approximately 11,500.
And the distance, Mr. Chair, again, is from Duluth is approximately what?
About 20 miles.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. And your any other questions for members? Your witnesses then, Representative Hilty.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, I'm Brian Fritzinger, City Administrator with the City of Cloquet. Thank you for the opportunity today to speak with you regarding our bill again.
Excuse me, I think we members have the amendment. Oh, we don't have a quorum. Okay, I'm sorry, continue.
The proposed bill grants the city authority to impose a local sales tax, which of 0.5% and limits the sales tax on new vehicles to $20 per motor vehicle, only after approval of a referendum in the fall. We expect this tax to raise approximately $500,000 a year over an 18-year period, or total of $9 million for these projects. As a regional center, we really are asked to provide a lot of services to our area. And as Representative Hilty mentioned, a large part of Carlton County and St. Louis County do come to Cloquet to both work as well as enjoy the other amenities that we provide. As an example, with our public library, which is a city library, not a regional or county library, a little over 40% of the users of our library system are non-Cloquet residents. So it's just one example of how the area does come to Cloquet to utilize the facilities that we have. We're also challenged in that sense by the fact that we're just one of a handful of communities across the state that do have Native American reservation within our city limits. About one-third of our community lies within the Fond du Lac reservation, a large portion of that which does not pay any property taxes to the city. So as we look at projects and efforts to try to enhance that, property tax has really become a challenge for us on these projects which are more of a regional basis.
We do have a quorum, so we want to get this amendment adopted so we don't forget. So, Chair, I'll move the AH2757 PD1 amendment. Any discussion? All in favor of adoption of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Amendment's adopted. We're also going to do the minutes. Members, you should have the minutes from the January 26th Gilbert City Hall meeting in front of you. Representative Marquardt, do you want to move those? Has to be someone that was there.
Mr. Chair, go move those minutes.
Okay, Representative Simpson moves the Thursday, January 26th minutes. Any discussion?
Yeah, Representative Mark Hort missed one heck of a good meeting, both before, during, and afterwards. Wouldn't you agree, Representative Rukavina? And the meeting before was very enlightening.
I would agree, and Representative Rukavina took good care of us, except his seatmate I wasn't able to find in North Country. Somebody's going to have to show me where he's at in there.
See me in that scene with Charlie Strong.
Yeah, now that you mentioned.
I look like Woody.
Any discussion to the minute? Any other discussion to the minutes? Okay, all in favor of adoption of the January 26th minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? The minutes are adopted. The next one is the March 15th minutes. Representative Marquardt moves adoption of the March 16th, 15th minutes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of adoption of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Minutes are adopted. Now, back to Mr.
Fritzinger.
How do you say that?
Fritzinger.
Fritzinger. Oh, that's easy. Okay. Mr. Fritzinger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The purpose of our tax is really twofold. First and foremost is to allow the city to take some steps to further address economic development needs in the community. Over the last several years, Cloquet has been hit fairly hard by changes in the natural resource arena. We are and have been considered primarily a mill town for pretty much our full existence as a community. About 4 years ago, our paper mill was purchased, Potlatch was purchased by Sappi, which is a South African company, and we had several hundred people that were laid off from the mill at that time. Most recently, another company that we have locally, Diamond Brands, which produces matchsticks, again, timber product manufacturing company, has outsourced most of their work to China, and we've lost an additional 300 jobs at that mill over the last 2 years. So we very much have some impacts going on in the community. The intent of the sales tax in that arena is for us to really try to fund the utilities and infrastructure for a new business park. It's obvious to us that we have a need to diversify that economy. It's obvious to us because of some of the amenities that we provide, as well as some of that locational issues close to Duluth, provides us opportunities to expand some of the job base that we have in the community. Probably the highest priority that we have right now is to get a business park up. We have some companies that we're working with, and the use of the sales tax would very much help us complete that project. The second aspect of the bill that we have is for community park projects. We have three primary areas that the community as well as the region use our park system. First is with our, we have a very large soccer and baseball softball complex, which does provide services to communities of Esco, Carlton, Scanlon, and some of the townships that surround Cloquet. Those facilities are, at this point, not capable of handling the demand that we have for services. The second area that we have as part of this project deals with development along the St. Louis River. As you might be aware, the St. Louis River runs from Lake Superior north through Cloquet, and is really used highly by a variety of tourists, primarily in the winter during the snowmobile season. It's basically a get-on point for a lot of four-wheelers and snowmobilers to head north out of town. The city is looking to expand the trail areas along this system, as well as some of the other amenities that are along the riverfront. The third area that we're looking in terms of the park system deals with our Pinehurst Park Swimming Pool Complex, which is a pool that's about 28 years old now. It's an outdoor pool. It was initially funded through lock-on funds at that time. This pool, again, provides a great deal of service to the outlying areas of the community for summertime needs for a lot of the families in our region. We have a lot of daycare. We have a lot of different activities that come into the community and use this facility. Unfortunately, the pool is failing and is kind of at its end of its useful life, and we are looking at a process of upgrading that facility at this point in time. From a Cloquet perspective, these are really critical projects for our community. We believe at this point that the local option sales tax is the most rational policy for us as an alternative to the property tax. We are, if you look at some of the Taxpayer League information, one of the higher tax communities in the region, and a burden that continues to be challenged with some of the changes that went on with local government aid as well as levy limits. We think that this is a tax which would allow us as a community to make the decision as to how we best provide some of the services that we're being asked to provide, not just to us, but outside of our region. So I'd ask your consideration of this bill, and I can answer any questions that you have.
Representative Riccolino.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Mr. Fritzinger, the St. Louis County River starts in my district, and then we send everything down to you, but... I'm just curious, what did you lose in the LGE cuts, and are you maxed out yet in your cuts?
This was our last year. We lost an additional $85,000 in 06. We've approximately $1.5 million is what we've lost in LGE.
So you've lost $1.5 million over, and then you've had to increase property taxes, and now you've got to put a sales tax on just to get back. But the state didn't have anything to do with this, did they?
No.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're not raising, forcing them to raise taxes, Mr. Chair. And it's sad, and I'm supporting Representative Hilty's bill, but it's sad that we've got to have these communities coming here and putting a sales tax on people, which is just as regressive, if not more so than a property tax, because we've cut their LGA in Cloquet by $1.5 million. That's fair. Proper LGA formula, Representative Lincheski, that was implemented is causing a lot of communities around this state to have to come to the legislature and ask for special tax bills like this. But I'm also curious, Mr. Fritzinger, if I could, Mr. Chair, in the portion of your
And I noticed, you know, and I've gone back to the Cloquet Forestry Center, and I think there's convenience stores in that on the reservation part of town there. Would those places be charging the sales tax, or in the are the reservation businesses, or are they private businesses? And if they're in the reservation, do they technically, can you make them force pay sales tax?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rukavina, the businesses that you're referring to are reservation owned, so they do not pay any taxes to the city of Cloquet.
And they wouldn't?
And they would not pay under this any tax that we're aware of.
And do you, but Mr. Chair, do you provide their infrastructure?
Yes. Water and sewer is provided by the city of Cloquet, as well as police and fire protection.
So I'm curious, do you, when you bond for your sewer and water projects, do they pay the assessment through a fee, but is there a property tax charge for the bonds, and do they pay on that?
Mr. Chairman, there's no property tax that is paid as part of that. We typically, in a situation where we're extending utilities to various construction within the reservation, reach agreement in terms of a cost share with that, no different than we do with other property owners along that line.
And then, Mr. Chair, the fees pay the bond?
Correct.
Any other questions from any members? Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask Ms. Dalton about the excise tax part of this. Do we have other cities that currently do this?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, approximately half of the cities with a local sales tax also have a $20 excise tax on motor vehicle tax.
And the second question I have for Ms. Dalton is the criteria that we talked about last year and actually had in the bill for a time about the local sales tax option and what the criteria were for community being able to impose a local option sales tax. Does this proposal fit those criteria?
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I don't believe that park facilities, unless they were of regional nature, were included, but I'm not sure we defined exactly what regional nature meant under those circumstances.
Thank you.
Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Alton, following up on that, you said approximately half the cities that have local option sales tax also have the wheelage tax. Is it typical that the local option sales tax is on a referendum and the wheelage tax is not, or how does it typically work, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, basically the referendum is on the local sales tax, and if they pass the local sales tax, then they're just allowed to do the wheelage tax or the $20 excise tax by ordinance without having to get that approved by the voters themselves.
Any other questions from members? If not, the chairman will hold this over for possible inclusion, and thank you, Mr. Fetzinger, for coming down.
Thank you.
Representative Hilty.
And Mr. Chair,
is there anybody from the audience would like to testify for or against this? Representative Hilty, anything else?
I would just like to underscore, Mr. Chair, what Mr. Fritzinger has told us, that really the essence of this bill is the completion of the industrial park. Cloquet is what has been historically, I think, what could be best described as a classic blue-collar city based on industries that are not growing. The city is making every effort it can to plan for the future and to provide for alternatives, and we really need this in order to complete those plans. And as far as Representative Lanning's question is concerned, I would like to reemphasize that anyone that is familiar with that area knows that Cloquet is, by any measure, truly a regional center. The people from Carleton County, southern and western Carleton County, and southern St. Louis focus on Cloquet. That's where they shop, and the recreational facilities that they take advantage of there are really the only ones anywhere around, unless they want to go on to Duluth, and they simply do not do that.
Thank you, Mr. Hilty, and we'll hold it over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next bill up is House File 2845, Representative Ruth.
Chair.
Representative Mark Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before the next author comes up, I'd like to know who the chair is cheering for today in the Class A boys basketball tournament that begins today.
Representative Marquardt, due to the fact that this is the first time that New York Mills has ever made it to the state Class A boys basketball tournament, I think the indication will be on my part that cheer will allow at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock at Williams Arena. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Representative Ruth, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It's nice to be back in the Tax Committee. I've not been here for a couple of years, been back to jobs, so it's nice to be back and see all of you. Well, House File 2845 would be a 0.5% sales tax, excuse me, for the City of Owatonna. And this would allow the City of Owatonna to fund some of the number of projects. The tax would expire at the earlier of either 10 years or when funds are sufficient to finance the authorized $13.2 million. There is also an amendment that Ms. Dalton found. We need, and this basically just clarifies some of the language. So if I could also have the H2845A1 amendment.
And at this time, the chair moves H2845A1. Any questions from anybody? Not all those in favor say aye. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I have with me our Owatonna mayor and city administrator, so I'll have them identify themselves and give you some more information.
Okay.
Thank you, committee chair and members of the committee. My name is Tom Kuntz. I'm mayor of the great city of Owatonna, and thank you for allowing us to ask for authorization to implement the local option sales tax on the ballot this fall. As Connie has said, it's for 9 years. It would produce about $1.5 million a year with a total revenue of about $13.2 million. It is broken down into four different projects. The first project would be transportation. As we anticipate Highway 14 coming across from Waseca going over towards Rochester, and we have done some beltline studies along with the county, we need to make sure that we have some adequate infrastructure to connect the beltline roads that have been identified and connect to Highway 14 as it comes across. These studies have been in partnership up with the City of Owatonna, Steele County, and MnDOT. These will allow us better access within our community, better access outside of our industrial park, and better access for our regional travelers that come down 35 and across Highway 14. The second project is about $5.4 million, and it's part of our parks and trails system. It first part would be a contribution from our downtown committee. It's they've committed $500,000 towards it. It allows us to complete our trail system from North Street to 26th Street. It now then would allow us to have a trail system along our south border to our north border of our community along the river, which not a lot of communities have. It also then allows us to expand our trail systems, which is currently at about 5 miles to about 15 miles. And what the ultimate goal of that is to connect it to the regional trail system to the north, which would allow us to go from Owatonna to Faribault and then connect in from the Faribault-Northfield Red Wing Trail System. So it would also help within tourism and would help southern Minnesota provide adequate trails to our community. The third one would be capital improvements to our West Hills Complex. It's about $2.8 million. Our West Hills Complex is on the National Register. It used to be straight orphanage, and then it was a museum, and the city purchased this facility in the mid-70s. The facility was built in the late 1800s, and as we have facilities that have got that age to them, there's a lot of maintenance that needs to be done to them. So the foundations need some waterproofing, need some tuck pointing in them. We have one building that we want to restore back to its original condition, so as we have tourists come in to look at our stage school and the orphanage, it would restore it back to its original condition. The orphanage has had national attention, and it has had film that's been documented and it's been shown on national TV. We do get tourism from all over the United States to come and stop and look at our orphanage. I believe that's one of the few in the nation that's still dedicated as a museum, so it's very important to our community. We also have some dollars set aside to complete the third floor of our fire hall. Our fire hall is not located on the Orphanage Museum property. Our fire hall is also a community response center, and so as we have disasters within Steele County, everything congregates at our local fire department. The area that's set aside for that process right now is not large enough. As we expand the third floor, that would provide us an opportunity to have a better access for community response, to be able to have first Red Cross and first aid and other areas come up when we do, when we're going through community response disasters. The other one is to do some waterproofing of the basement of our library. Our library does provide services throughout Steele County. I believe we're part of Selco, and so it does have some regional nature to it. The last one is an 800 megahertz radio communication system of about and it's got a price tag of about $500,000 on it. After 9/11, we found out that local fire departments, local police departments have a hard time communicating together, and from the national level, they have indicated that we should all go to the 800 megahertz radio system, so that fire departments and police departments, whether they be from Owatonna, Medford, Steele County, or outstate, can communicate together off the 800 megahertz radio system. This is a part of the funds that would come from matching grants and get us started in that direction. With that, I'll turn it over to Greg if you've got any other comments.
Okay, members, Representative Riccovino.
Representative Ruth, or maybe some of your testifiers, did you experience any local government aid cuts? If so, how much?
Representative Ruth.
Mr. Chair, Representative Riccovino, I'll give that question to our Administrator Greg Sparks.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. With the local government aid cuts that came in, we had about $1 million reduction in the 2003-2004. Saw some of the increase come back in 2005 and in 2006. And in our 2006 level, we're just about back to where we were in 2002.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Representative Riccovino,
sir, then you must be like qualified for those regional those regional centers and your population that you got some money back then?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative, I believe that is the case. We are a city of about 24,000 population.
Okay. Well, again, Mr. Chair, we see sales tax increases because of cuts in state funding, but this one really is astounding to me that we're going to raise a sales tax, a local sales tax, to do a highway, state highway project. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on around here, and I'm not criticizing you folks because I understand it, but everybody's coming to us because of what we've done to them on a state level. And, you know, I don't like gas taxes because they're regressive, but last year I voted for the gas tax. Mm-hmm. And to have the only thing come out of the bill last year where we voted for the gas tax was the what I call another theft of the sales tax by this MVET dedication. Wait till that happens, and then we can't find the $400 million of biennium. Then you folks will see another LGA cut, and you can come in and ask for another 5 cents, maybe, or a couple percent, or half a percent, or another full percent sales tax. But it is absolutely astounding to me that now we got to have local units of government putting a local sales tax to help the state build the state highway.
Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And this is also referring to the dollars that go towards the U.S. highway. And the mayor mentioned cooperation with MnDOT. Was this on a MnDOT plan, and with the fact that $4.5 million will go into it, does that speed it up, or how does that, how was that all working? Was that in a MnDOT plan to start with?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Markwood, the money for transportation is not on Highway 14, but it's part of the, these are part of road improvements that came out of our corridor study with MnDOT, Steele County, and Owatonna, that where we make connections into our Beltline system and improve the connections to the Beltline system that have an impact then on moving traffic onto Highway 14 and Interstate 35. So right, it is not specifically work done on a, say, highway.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Mr. Markwood.
So then this is, would have been locally done, this 4 point to connect the U.S. highway.
Yes, Mr. Chair. These would be projects that would qualify to use municipal state aid or county state aid money on. In a sense, this allows us to move, because there's, again, there's never enough money for municipal state aid to do all the projects that need to be done. We view these as very important to serve our industrial park and commercial center that's growing up on the west side of Interstate 35.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the members? Representative Ruth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Well, and again, as Mr. Sparks said, we just want to emphasize that it is not a state highway. So the two things that you mentioned, Representative Riccovina, are that they're not accurate. And sorry that we misled you there. But these are local projects, things that we have been looking for a number of years. And of course, and it's not the local government aid. We're just about even there. But this is asking for $13 million. These are some repairs and different areas of projects that were discussed in full. And these are things that we need to do, that we can accelerate, that we're not able to do in the city of Owatonna. And so we would appreciate your enthusiastic support. Thanks, Mr. Chair, members.
Any other comments, Mayor? Members, anybody wish to testify against or for House File 2845? If not, at this time, the chair will hold it over for possible inclusion. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next on the list, we have House File 3184, Representative Pawlowski, Winona Sales Tax.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I believe that staff has an amendment to clarify this provision. This bill comes at the request of the city of Winona, and I have Eric Sorensen and Keith Nelson here to explain it, but it simply adds an additional use of the revenue for local option sales tax that has already been approved, and I believe the amendment would clarify the up to amount that's going to be collected, so that would put a cap on it. It wouldn't just be a never ending fund. Okay. So that's what the amendment does. Okay.
Well, at this time, the chair will move House File 3184 for possible inclusion, and we will get the amendment passed out here, and we'll pass that next then. Okay? Go ahead, Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, I think I'll have Eric Sorensen just explain why we're asking for the additional use of revenue, and then you can deal with the amendment.
Okay. Mr. Swanson, please introduce yourself for the tape and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're simply asking for the amendment and flood control. Eric Sorensen, City Manager,
okay.
City of Winona. And as everybody else looked at the effect of Katrina, we looked at our levy. We decided that we wanted more security in the power source that protects our community, and we want to bring that to our public. We are not asking for bottom line additional revenue. We're not asking for bottom line a greater time frame. This would just be a project that the council could bring to the public. It's our belief that there's great support for this in our community. And I have our Assistant City Manager, Keith Nelson, with me to talk about the detail of the project, if that's necessary. But I'd like to emphasize we're not asking for any additional money or time frame. We're simply asking for the right to bring this project to the public. We're estimating $1.2 million to create additional generation capability. In the event of a major flood, we have gone through three major floods in the time that I've been in Winona. We've survived. We believe we understand our system. And our system is based upon power. And we would like to add that capability.
Okay. Representative Stephen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mayor, just out of curiosity, could you explain what role the Army Corps has played in some of these flood control projects? It sounds like we have a similar situation up in Newport, and I'm just curious how helpful, if at all, the Army Corps has been in some of this project work that needs to be done.
Mr. Thorne.
Mr. Chair, Representative, in a technical sense, certainly Keith can answer that question, but we've worked very well with the Corps. The Corps has built the project that we currently have. The project did not have this additional generator capability that we now have identified as a need, but we certainly respect back in time the work that Mayor Laufenberger did at that time, bringing that issue to Washington, building the system that we have. And this is with the Corps. I don't understand that there would be any issue with the Corps.
Thank you.
Okay. At this time, members, you should have the House File H3184PD1 amendment in front of you. If we could move that at this time. Mm-hmm. Representative Nelson, will you move that?
I'll move it.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Lynchinsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I did just want to point out for members that I think this one is a real obvious one for us to approve, in that Winona was here last year and received the approval for some other things, but we do have a history of approving flood control, local option sales taxes. Rochester has done that in the past, and I know that, I'm not sure what Representative Dorman's Lake Improvement Area sales tax that we approved last year did. I think there was some flood effort in there, and I know that Winona, in fact, is the one of only two cities in the state that came forward for a local option sales tax long ago and then actually expired their sales tax as promised. And at that time, I think they did it to dredge Winona Lake. So I think we've got a history across the state in supporting these flood efforts. So I just encourage members to support this one.
Mr. Chair, the representative, we appreciate those comments, and we certainly would be remiss in thanking you for prior authorization. And yes, we did retire that initial half-cent sales tax project 2 years early, and the projects that you have approved to date are all public works projects. This is just another public works project.
Representative Riccovina.
Mr. Chair, this is a good project, and Winona has been upfront with the citizens. And if I recall last year on your project, was it a railroad crossing, Representative Pulaski?
Overpass. Mr. Chair, it's a Riccovina, it's an overpass.
Over a railroad, right?
It wasn't Winona is split in two by the railroad. This would be the only way to get over the railroad tracks should there be some type of incident that occurred with the train. We can't go underneath them, obviously, because we're on a sandbar. But this would be the only way to get across those tracks, because our hospital and clinic are on one side. We have the college and most of the community on the other side.
I recall that. And again, you know, members, I'm just curious. Mayor,
$5 million.
Pardon me? How much?
$1.5 million.
$1.5 million. There you go. You know, it's again, members.
Thank you for the commentary. I think we pretty well got it. They've lost funds again.
Mr. Chair, no, nobody seems to. I heard the governor. I saw the governor last night and Ms. Palente at Mancini's, incidentally, and had a little, quite a good time with him, as a matter of fact. He was alone without security, and I was harassing him. But anyway, really, it was a lot of fun. But I mean, the governor's been saying that and implying that local governments are the ones that raise property taxes, but when you take $1.5 million away from somebody or $2 million away from somebody and they come here, not only do they have to raise property taxes to make that up, but now they have to come here to do with sales tax increases to do projects that we used to tax fairly. It's something called an income tax. And they have to raise money now through a very somewhat regressive tax. But, I mean, their community is supporting it, and I support it. But, you know, no bones about it, members. Our actions at the legislature over the last several years have severely impacted these communities, and I'm not blaming this mayor or any other mayor for having to do what they have to do to make up the funding that we've taken away from them.
Any other comments, Representative Lanning?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that all the folks advocating local option sales tax need to keep in mind that the extent to which local government aid cuts are given as an excuse for the tax, or the tax is being sold because of cuts in local government aid, all those folks are going to do is to hand to the opponents of local government aid ammunition to cut it some more or to not give increases. And so that, I think people need to keep that in mind.
Okay. Any other comments,
Mr. Chair?
Representative
Clarification on Representative Lanning's point. Representative Lanning, what you were saying, that because we're allowing them to raise money other ways, we're not going to get more local government aid back? Is that what you were implying?
Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rukavina, what I'm saying is that if we advocate local option sales tax to fill in, to backfill losses in local government aid, or if we sell that to our constituents as a substitute for local government aid, all we're doing is handing to the people who want to cut local government aid more ammunition to cut us more or to not increase local government aid. That's my point.
And Mr. Chair, and I don't want to get
in Rickavina,
Representative Bolowski and the good citizens of Red Wing embroiled in this. I don't necessarily. I'm thinking of Red Wing because his father lives in Red Wing, and being is originally, you know, from.
No, we're actually from.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rick,
but anyway,
that statement.
But I'm thinking his father, who his dad likes me a lot more than Representative Bolowski does. Actually, wanted me to come and visit, so I went to the community of Red Wing after the election, the last general election, and I visited with Gene's dad, and he took me to a wonderful restaurant, and so that's why I made that Freudian slip, excuse me.
Yes, sir.
But Representative Lanny, I don't disagree with what you're saying at all, but what we really need to do to increase government aid around here is to get our friends on the other side of the aisle, when there's an amendment offered to increase government aid, to vote with us. That'll help us more than anything.
Representative Mark Clark.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And it is this very point about the local option sales tax, the reason why I voted against the cranky tax bill last year, because remember, that was taking money away from those first-class cities because of a local option sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
And by approving that tax bill last year, sent a very strong message that we are relating the two. And I was really worried because cities that get border cities credit, like Dilworth and several others, they could start using that. That's why I thought that bill, while we're discussing this and sending messages, sent a terrible message as far as relating these things to LGA. So we have to be careful how we vote on these things and the messages that they send.
Okay. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Pawlowski and Mayor, well, we've gotten off.
City manager, I'd like to.
Excuse me. Well, we've gotten off onto a little bit of a rabbit trail here. At no point did I pick up in your testimony that this project was in any way related to other than a need that has been there and has increased through time, and that I never picked up in any testimony in the previous local option sales tax that it was done to replace or backfill any lack of funding other than supplying a need. is my memory, am I hearing correct on both those points?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that's correct. We did not enter into the discussion that's in this committee at this point in time.
And I think, Mr. Chairman and Representative Pawlowski, to get us back on track for your project, Representative Lincheski's statements in support of this particular project, I think, carry a great deal of weight by what you've just backed up there, too. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Anybody wish to testify for or against House File 3184? If not, the chair will hold it over for possible inclusion. Thank you, gentlemen, for
Thank
being
you,
here.
Chair, members of the committee. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is House File 3333, Representative Jaros. The chair will move House File 3333 for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, for the 3333 number. I couldn't have planned it. Lucky number, it's not 13. House File 3333 it would impose an additional 0.75 percent of tax on Duluth bars and restaurants to help to fund a deck, the Duluth Entertainment and Convention Center arena, to build a new arena. And UMD is involved. The UMD Bulldogs are playing. Are going to be playing there. They are paying about almost a $500,000 a year towards this project, and the Duluth Convention Entertainment Center is paying about $500,000. And we hope to get some money from the state in bonding bill so that we can do this to help both. The convention is into effect. Duluth's arena is 40 years old, and it cannot accommodate some of the medium-sized events that our city is losing from national organizations. And it will help if we can attract those many of those events. It will help the state in state sales tax, so we'll pay the state back in revenue in the future. So this is three groups that are asked to fund it, the UMD, Duluth, and the state of Minnesota. DEC is a state authority. It was created in 1986. The governor appoints a few members of that center. And so it is a regional state project, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I have Henry Wally. Henry Wally, his uncle, I knew, was my insurance man and a chairman of my first campaign. A great guy, Kevin Wally, who is his nephew, and he is the city's representative at the council.
Mr. Wally.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Kevin Wally. I'm representing the city of Duluth and standing in for Mayor Bergson today, who is in the Twin Cities but is probably on his way over here from Minneapolis from an event that he was committed to this morning. As Representative Jaros mentioned, we're very pleased that the citizens of Duluth responded favorably to the referendum question that was put to them on this issue on February the 28th, the day before the session, and by a vote of 61-39%, the citizens accepted the proposal that a 0.75% increase in the food and beverage tax be imposed for the very purpose of providing local match for the Duluth Entertainment and Convention Center arena. The DEC arena will be the anchor in our sports entertainment business complex in the central part of the city. It will provide a new home for the University of Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs men's and women's hockey programs. Right now they play in our existing arena facility, which Representative Jaros mentioned, was over 40 years old now. It's the smallest ice sheet, the smallest arena of the WCHA arenas. UMD was considering coming forward with a request of their own to build a new arena on campus, and we're very pleased that an arrangement has been made whereby the University of Minnesota Duluth and the city are going together to provide this arena, which will continue to anchor that entertainment center. This is the top priority for the city administration and for the city council. We're very hopeful that the project will be included in the bonding bill, and this is a critical element for the city in providing the local match to pay for the local bonds for the project. And as Representative Yaros mentioned, there will be a UMD lease payment for their use of the facility. There will be deck operation dollars, and then the proceeds from this sales tax on food and beverage to defease those bonds. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I stand for questions from the committee.
Mr. Wall, I did, if I'm correct, the governor has this in his bonding proposal. Did the Senate put it in their proposal?
Mr. Chairman, you're correct that the governor did. The Senate has not.
Okay.
And the Senate bill was on the floor this morning as I was walking over here, and it was not in that proposal, and I'm not aware of an amendment.
Okay. Questions, members? Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Dalton, could you give us a sense of to what extent we've granted this sales tax exemption for construction materials elsewhere around the state?
Ms. Dalton, or Representative Lanning, that's the other bill that we'll be looking at next. This is the sales tax option only. You're looking at the next bill, which is 3186, I believe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I stand
corrected. Representative Riccovino.
Mr. Chair, well, Representative Jarvis, you know, I'm surprised that my good progressive...
I'm a liberal. I'm not a progressive.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. You typically are progressive when it comes to taxes, but I know you're carrying this, but, you know, it'll be my constituents that are going to be helping to pay for the deck, and since we already pay for most things in Duluth, strangers. I was wondering, Mr. Wally, is there a way, you know, when my aunt's got to go down to the, you know, St. Mary's Hospital and get her hip replacement, and she's down there and I'm visiting her and I got to go get something to eat, and is there a way for me to get a rebate so I don't have to pay for the deck?
Mr. Wally.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rubina, I don't know of any way to do that.
So I got to buy something in Herman's
for legislators from the Iron Range or something. I don't know. We'd have to have a special bill for that. Or
Representative Riccovini, you're always looking for ways to help out the public, so this would be a good way for you to do so. I would hope you'd spend a lot of dollars when you're there. So.
Well, Mr. Chair, again, you know, you've heard me say my concern with regressive taxes, and I know Representative Jarvis shares my feelings, but, you know, the fact is that a lot of my constituents have to go to Duluth for medical care because, you know, St. Mary's Duluth Clinic had a, what I would call a hostile takeover of several clinics up north on the Iron Range, and it was either let us buy you out or boy, well, you're going to get it. So doctors kind of gave in, and you know, we're, a lot of referrals are going down there. In fact, we're building a $25 million building next to our regional hospital for the Duluth Clinic because they kind of forced us to do that too. So, you know, my mom and Auntie Gloria are paying for Duluth Clinic's clinic new building, and now I know Auntie Gloria's had four hip surgeries all in Duluth, and we'll go down there and she'll be paying again, and so we can have hockey and a nice new building to watch, you know, somebody, some musicians or hockey games or whatever. But, well, Representative Zaris, I won't harass you.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Yaros, to Representative Rookavina's point, over 70% of my constituents work in the Twin Cities. And myself, when I come into the Twin Cities, including when I'm down here, I don't have a real good attitude towards paying the extra sales tax down here, but I have to. My attitude is quite different when I go to Duluth. And we had this conversation about 3 years ago when you sat where Ms. Baker is. I'm glad that Duluth has changed their direction from just the smelters that come in the spring of the year and have a great drunken brawl, and that you're doing a lot in entertainment. I personally expect to pay to play in that city. a little bit. But I think I heard you state something that these bonds, part of the retirement is going to be off of the revenue contract with the college. But I don't pick it up in the bill before us. The bill before us just addresses debt retirement from the actual extra sales tax. I wonder if you could clear my thinking on that, please.
Go ahead.
Mr. Wally?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, as I understand it, the city will be issuing GO bonds with the pledge of the revenues derived from this food and beverage tax. They're pledging, will be a pledge of a certain amount of revenue from the operations of the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center and the pledge of the lease payment by the University of Minnesota Duluth. That will be the total revenues directed toward those payments. And they're issuing bonds over a term of 25 years with the expectation that if all of the projections come through with respect to the lease, the operational revenue, and the proceeds from the food and beverage tax, that they should be able to pay off those bonds sooner than the 25-year term.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, and maybe Representative Lynchuska can help me on this a little bit, but I appreciate that you've got in here some reductions when you get there. When I first looked at it, I was concerned that we're setting ourselves up for another Minneapolis Convention Center that it would never ever be paid off and we'd be perpetual there. But I still have trouble if we need additional language in here to state that, or somebody can, Ms. Dalton or somebody on that. I hope I can make myself clear what I'm trying to get at here. We're saying one thing in testifying, we're saying something else in the bill.
Ms. Dalton, would you like to take a shot at that?
Representative Nelson, members of the committee, I would have first one question for the City of Duluth. Is $33.7 million the entire bond issuance for this project?
Mr. Wally.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Dalton, $33.7 is the entire bond issue for the local share of the project, yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, then I believe that Representative Nelson is correct, because the way this language is drafted, the additional 0.75 cents would not expire until revenue is sufficient to pay debt service on the principal amount has been raised from this tax. And so I think you do need some additional language that would say the tax plus the other sources have produced revenue sufficient to pay debt service on the bonds. And I could work with some language for that, but it may take me a few minutes to do so.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Yaros, you get the drift that I'm behind you on this thing,
yes.
But
yeah.
I'd like some clarification. And I think
okay. Well, thank you.
As a committee, we can move on.
And also,
Mr.
we can do it between now and the full committee if it survives this committee, this division.
Okay.
Or it's up to you.
Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman, I was just going to say our sales tax is not bad. I don't really like sales tax, but ours is not. We don't have sales tax on groceries. When I left the legislature in 1980, I lived in the state of Virginia, and every time I went to the store to buy food, I had to feed five people. Sales tax was added.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that. We have it on, actually, a bar and restaurant food is kind of a luxury. It's not bread and butter, as I was talking about yesterday. Of course, the tax is a tax, but sales tax on restaurants is sort of a dessert. You know, most people don't have to eat and drink in restaurants like you and I do. So it's pretty liberal tax.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Riccovino.
Mr. Chair, Representative Charles, it's, again, not true, because a lot of my constituents have to go to Duluth for their medical
they can
care.
Fix a sandwich like, you know, we used to.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
And, all
right,
and
buy a cooler to spend more to buy the cooler and the base sales tax on that, a 2.25%. Mr. Chair, but what I'm wondering in the bill, Mr. Wally, is I see, you know, you're asking for to go to 2.25%, but then after you pay everything off, you're going back down to 1.75. Am I following that right? So you're increasing,
right. Mr. Wally.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rukavina, there's currently there's a 0.5% food and beverage tax that is going to sunset, and then when this one sunsets, we'll be actually down to 1% on the food and beverage tax. So we're at 1 point. We'll be at 2.25 with this 0.75. But there's a 0.5 that's authorized currently that I think the bonds that are being paid off are going to be done in like 2011 or 2012. And then that, by the language of the statute, will sunset. And then this will sunset when these bonds are paid. It will be down to 1% on the food and beverage tax.
So everything goes back to 1% when you and I are long dead.
Well, we may be alive.
At this time, Ms. Dalton, have you come up with some terminology, or would you like to hold this over and do it later? Representative Yarros, how would you like to do
it? Well, it's, Mr. Chairman, it's up to you. You know, if okay. You have enough time, you know, or...
I think then at this time we'll just hold it over and we'll get the correction before it goes to the full committee. Any other comments? Anyone else like to testify for or against House File 3333? If not, we'll the chair will hold it over for possible inclusion into the omnibus bill. At this time, we'll do 3186, which is also Representative Yarros, and I think we know what that one's about.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members, this is an interesting project. What we're trying to do is exempt that illogical local sales tax on building materials, and Mayor Lanning, Representative Lanning, knows that. This happened in the 90s when we were faced with losing local government aid. We had a shortfall, so Governor Carlson and the legislature decided to do this, and I guess the League of Cities agreed to that probably reluctantly rather than losing. So this is a almost all privately funded projects, about a $12 million. We had an amateur sports arena in Duluth that burnt about a year and a half, a couple of years ago. We were able to get almost $1 million from the state deed and to clean up a new area. And the private sector is, they're raising money to build about a $12 million complex on an old steel manufacturing. They used to manufacture the largest cranes in the world. We were selling them all over the world. It was called Clyde Iron. Well, they were forced into closure because of competition and so on. One of my next door neighbors worked on these, and unfortunately he died in Asia someplace setting up one of these cranes. Anyway, so this is mostly citizens that are putting it together, and they got some state some help from a deed, and they would like to get out of paying the sales tax, which amounts to $315,000 for the project materials.
Okay, at this time, the chair moves House File 3186. Questions, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And from the staff, probably, isn't there a sales tax exemption for, like, ice arenas or something dating back to about 91, 92, 93 session, specifically sales tax exemption for such building materials?
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, there was an exemption for what were called the Mighty Ducks ice arenas, but that exemption has expired.
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Dalton, the Mighty Ducks was about 95 or or 6-7, something like that, and I'm thinking something after 1990 and previous to the Ducks legislation, specific to ice arenas. But I could be wrong. Maybe it's an exemption on property taxes on private mail or something.
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I can't come up with any.
Okay.
But I.
You're not as old as I am, so your memory isn't. Okay. Maybe we could check on that for Representative Barrows, too, please.
Any other comments or questions? Anybody in the audience wish to testify for or against 3186? If not, the chair will hold it over for possible inclusion into the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members. Oh, my friend left, but did he get mad at me?
Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a process question, and maybe it's not fair to ask you. Maybe it's for Representative Vandeveer, but in looking at today's calendar, I'm just trying to figure out kind of the plan for this division going forward in that, you know, there were some local option sales tax bills for today, but there are many other authors whose bills were not put on the calendar. And then there were some construction material sales tax exemption, but other members who had similar bills that were not put on the calendar. And I checked with some of them who believe they have a hearing request in, so I don't know if we're doing another day of these or, and it's bipartisan. I mean, the speaker's got one, for example, and, you know, I just kind of generally, I've noted that we've kind of heard all the local option sales at once or all the construction, and I'm just wondering if we're going to have another day of those.
I can't speak for Representative Vandeveer, Chair Vandeveer, but something tells me if the speaker wants to have it unheard, I would assume that maybe we'll have another day and do some more. Looks like we probably will be, so thank you for your concern. So, anything else? If not, we're adjourned.